Hello, and welcome to another installment of Podcasts 360. I'm your moderator, Melinda Stevens, with Gastroenterology Consultant. With us today is Dr. Eva Sagathy, who is the Director of Behavioral Health with the Chief Medical and Scientific Office at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center in Pennsylvania. She is with us today to discuss depression, stress, and anxiety in IBD patients, a subject she will further discuss during her session at the Advances in Inflammatory Bowel Diseases annual meeting in December. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Sagathy.
So thank you for having me today.
It has been reported that patients with IBD frequently experience psychological comorbidities. Why is this?
The reason that patients are more likely to develop psychological comorbidities than some other chronic diseases is the brain-gut connection and how strong that is. So what happens in your gut influences your brain. I think there's three ways that we think about this. One is when there's inflammation in the gut, we know that the inflammatory chemicals like the cytokines communicate with the brain. We know that medications to treat inflammation, particularly steroids, can have influence on the brain. And then we also know that maladaptive coping styles patients have can sort of add to this load on the brain, both being more responsive to the stress of the inflammation, the actual physiological consequences of the inflammation, but then also the patients when they can't settle themselves from that stress, they actually can induce worsening of their disease activity.
What methods can be used to detect psychological comorbidities?
So the best method to detect psychological comorbidities and the two most common areas for inflammatory bowel disease are anxiety and depression, and it's screening techniques. And screening can be formal. So there's a number of validated brief questionnaires available, so they're very feasible to use in a clinical setting. But I think it's also important for settings where there isn't time for that, or settings where there isn't enough resource to track and analyze those screening results, some type of informal screening can be done. And probably the best place to start, if I only had one or two questions to screen for psychological comorbidities, is that I would start with how is the patient functioning in the areas of their life that they'd either like to function or they were functioning before the diagnosis. And then if there is a signal that there is impaired functioning, and particularly if that is distressing to the patient, then I would ask a question about have there been changes in your mood, how you feel, your thinking being more negative, and your behaviors being more shut down or lack of motivation to do things. And in that way, you would at least informally know that there is some type of signal likely there that involves a behavioral problem, and that there are then interventions that can address that.
Are there certain risk factors that make a patient more likely to develop these mental hardships?
There are risk factors that make a patient more likely to develop these mental hardships. And I like to, again, put these into three categories. So patients who have disease activities or disease complications that impair their functioning. So it's interesting, a number of studies have been done looking at this area, that it's not the absolute disease activity, but it's the perceived dysfunction in their lives, so the inability to perform the things they used to do, that is a greater indicator or a greater risk factor that, especially for depression, but anxiety as well. The second risk factor is how do they cope with stress and how well do they manage their symptoms, their self-care of their IBD. So do they call the doctor or the nurse's line when they're noticing symptoms after a week? Are they adherent to the medications? are they following wellness instructions about smoking cessation and now increasingly diet? And the patients who struggle to either be adherent or they feel that there's nothing they can do, they feel helpless over their disease, again, tend to be at higher risk for psychological comorbidities. And then last but not least, we have to think about what I would call IBD independent factors. So a family history of anxiety, depression, chronic pain. So that can be functional abdominal pain, joint pain, migraines is a risk factor for psychological difficulties. We know that a history of trauma, particularly if it was early or it has been repetitive, leads to a greater risk of anxiety and depression. And then last but not least, life factors going on in their life. So patients going through a negative life change. So that can be a loss, a death in the family, a loss of a job. It can be a transition they weren't expecting. It can be something like a divorce. These factors can all increase the risk. And obviously these factors can be cumulative. So if you have more than one of these, your risk of developing a clinically significant episode of anxiety, depression, and one that is severe or chronic goes up.
What role does mental health play in triggering flare-ups in patients?
So I don't think that our research is at the level of sophistication to determine triggering in terms of it being actually a causal factor has been determined. Most of the studies are associative. So when you're depressed, you're more likely to have greater disease activity, less robust response to your medication. When you're anxious, you have a tendency to go to the emergency room more often or seek medical care, even when you're not actually having a flare. So I don't think that we can call it triggering, but I think we can call it associative. And again, as I mentioned earlier, that we know that these behavioral problems, and let's say anxiety, depression, and functional abdominal pain, which is also a psychological manifestation of this disease. So the nerve endings get sensitized in the gut from repetitive flares of IBD, and that then leads to avoidance. That avoidance becomes habitual, and before you know it, patients are meeting criteria for an anxiety disorder and then sometimes a secondary depression if those factors become common. So for those kinds of cycles, we know that behavioral interventions can work. We know that certain psychotropic medications have some research guided support and are tolerated well in this population.
What is the key takeaway gastroenterologists need to know about their role in managing stress, depression, and anxiety in patients with IBD?
I think the key takeaway for gastroenterologists is how much influence they can have in improving this area of distress, discomfort for their patients, and certainly all these three domains, stress, depression, anxiety, all decrease a patient's quality of life, increase their suffering greatly. And I think that, I know that gastroenterologists out there, some don't have access to behavioral resources at all. Others try to find behavioral specialists in the community. And then in an increasing trend and a positive trend at that is there's an increased focus on integrating behavioral health services right into the GI clinical setting. I think what's important is regardless of how available a mental health provider is, that gastroenterologists can train their nursing staff. They themselves can be trained easily to recognize warning signs of some of these psychological comorbidities, warning signs of stress, and even their willingness to take 2 to 3 minutes at a time, so brief interventions at each visit to help patients see how stress, depression, anxiety is impacting their coping their life functioning, and then help patients problem solve about getting treatment, that role they can play is very powerful and very necessary.
Thank you again for joining us today, Dr. Sagethi.
My pleasure.